بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, yesterday we were discussing the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, a dua that he made at the age of 90. And at that point in his life, he still was not blessed with any children. And this is the dua that he made. And through the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a child by the name of Yahya. So the first part of the dua, we discussed it last night, where Zakariya alayhi salam said, Rabbi, O my Rabb, Habni min ladunka, grant me from your own power a pure progeny. So the power of granting children and blessing one with a child, that power lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not allow anyone to make you think otherwise. That power is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah alone possesses that power that He can grant a person a child at whatever stage in the person's life. Then he doesn't only ask Allah for an offspring, but he says, ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. Oh Allah, grant me a طَيِّب offspring. What is طَيِّب? طَيِّب literally translates as pure. Oh Allah, this is the type of offspring that I want, a pure offspring. So whenever we make dua, we learn from the dua of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, that whenever they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child or for children, for a son or a daughter. And look, last night we touched on the aspect of gender and not expressing the disappointment on the gender of the child. But we are allowed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a particular gender. If you want a male offspring, you are allowed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for male offspring. And you are allowed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for female offspring. You are allowed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a gender that you wish to have. So there's nothing wrong. But when Allah gives you a child, and the child is not as you had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, then you should express happiness with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Maryam alayha salam, not Maryam, the mom of Maryam, Hanna alayha salam, the wife of Imran. When she gave birth to Maryam, she was expecting male offspring, because she made a vow, correct? That she is going to devote this male offspring of hers to the masjid. But when the child was born, what did she say? Rabbi inni wada'tuha untha. Oh Allah, I've given birth to a female child. Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. A female child. She was disappointed not over the gender of the child, but she felt that I cannot fulfill the vow that I made to Allah. Because in the Sharia of that time, the Sharia of Zakariya alayhi salam, the only child that could have been devoted to Masjid al-Aqsa for the worship of Allah was male offspring, and yet Allah blessed her with female offspring. So making dua for a certain gender is absolutely and perfectly fine. So the dua of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, what they always added the attribute that, oh Allah, we do not only want children. Look at the dua that is mentioned there of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he made dua for a child. What is the dua that he made? Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Hab. Again the word hab. When he also asked for a child, what was the dua? Rabbi habli. Oh Allah, bestow upon me a gift in the form of a pious child. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Salih means a righteous child. So whenever we make dua for offspring, let us not just keep it a general dua, but let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tayyiba, dhurriyatan tayyiba, pure offspring. Salihin, oh Allah, offspring that will be amongst the righteous and obedient servants of yours. Innaka sami'u dua. Look how beautifully he ends the dua. Innaka, oh Allah, you are sami'. We spoke about the attribute of Allah, sami'. You are the listener of the prayer, oh Allah. You are the listener of the dua, and you alone can answer the dua that a person has made. Just one or two points before we move on to the next dua, which deals with a similar topic, is that we should try not to stop the birth of children by any means. By adopting means, preventative measures. Yes, of course, there are certain instances where it is allowed. For example, I just like to touch on one mas'ala, and that is the law with regards to using contraceptives. Are we allowed to use contraceptives in Islam? Firstly, when it comes to the usage of contraceptives, understand that if the object and the purpose of using the contraceptive is out of fear that you will not be able to provide for the child, that is the fear. The husband and wife decide that we will not have any children, that the wife should perhaps use certain contraceptives, or the husband use certain contraceptives so that the wife does not conceive. And what is the fear? Risk. We do not have enough income to provide for a child. In this situation, it is haram, totally haram and unlawful to use contraceptive. If that is the motivating factor, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Allah says, do not do so, خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ, out of fear of poverty. You fear that I do not have enough income. If that is the motivating factor behind the usage of contraceptives, then it is totally haram. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We are the risk. We provide the risk. We give the provision. And every child, wallah, comes with his or her own set of risk and sustenance and provisions. If there are other reasons for the usage of contraceptives, perhaps the wife or the mother, she does not have enough physical strength to attend to the child because she has other children to attend to, then it's totally halal. It is totally permissible. There's nothing wrong with that. Or she wants to maintain her figure for her husband, then also it's totally halal, totally permissible for her to use these sort of contraceptives. But when there is no real reason and a person refuses to have children, I'm pursuing a career right now and importance is given, more importance is attached to the career than having a child, or some other reason perhaps that is not valid in the Sharia, you know, then Islam has discouraged this. It hasn't prohibited it, but has definitely discouraged this. Because now a person is reversing the system of Allah. And when you mess around and try to reverse the natural system that Allah has placed in order, then you will find that we are asking ourselves and putting ourselves into trouble. So that is as far as possible. This is something that we should not refuse. This gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakariya alayhi salam firmly believed that Allah in his power could change the usual phenomenon. His wife was extremely old. He was old on one hand, on the other hand, his wife was extremely old. And that's why when the angel came down and gave him the glad tidings of a child, of a boy that will be born to him, his very first expression was that, وَامْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ, but my wife is barren. From a medical point of view, she's barren. She cannot conceive. She cannot have a child. But he firmly believed in the power of Allah, that he made this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that conviction. That is the motivating factor when we make dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the people, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. Time and again we are going to raise our hands in the month of Ramadan and make dua, like no other month, right? The month of Ramadan. You are going to lift your hands and you're going to make dua. There are different times when duas are readily answered by Allah during this month. One such time is Jawful Layl. When did Zakariya alayhi salam make this dua? In the latter part of the night. In the latter part of the night, it comes in the books of tafsir that everyone was asleep. All the other keepers of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa was asleep. And at that time, Zakariya alayhi salam raised his hand and he whispered to Allah, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, O my Rabb, O my Rabb, O my Rabb. And his dua was motivated by an inner feeling of desperation and conviction in Allah. That Allah will grant me what it is that I'm asking for. That's why Rasulullah says, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ, when you make dua to Allah and you ask Allah, فَاسْأَلُوهُ, then beg from Him, وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ, and you are convinced. Beg with Him, beg before Him, in such a state that you are convinced, you firmly believe that Allah has answered your dua. There shouldn't be an iota of doubt in your heart, because then you are doubting the power of Allah. You sit there and you say, well, Allah, if you grant it to me, then alhamdulillah. If you do not grant it to me, then that is your decision. No. You sit there convinced, firmly believing in the power of Allah. It's all got to do with the level of conviction that you have in your heart. According to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your dua. Allah says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I will treat my servant as he or she expects me to treat that person. The way you expect Allah to treat you, that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat you. Let us move on to the next dua. I thought this dua is actually mentioned in Surah Ash-Shu'ara. But it's a similar topic. Another famous dua. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Allah, in that part, it's a wonderful passage of the Quran where Allah speaks of the qualities of the Ibadur Rahman. Allah speaks of the true servants, the true slaves, and the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has listed their different attributes. Amongst the attributes is Allah says they wake up at the time of tahajjud. They wake up in the latter part of the night. And what is the dua that they make? Allah says one of the du'as that they make is رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا. O Allah, bestow upon us. Again, they're using the word hab. Because what are they asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا. Our spouses. So as much as your child is a gift from Allah, your spouse is also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your spouse is also a gift from Allah. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا. Oh Allah, give us gifts. This is the dua that the true servants of Allah make. Oh Allah, give us gifts in the form of azwaj. Azwaj is a plural of zawj. What does zawj mean? A spouse, a husband or a wife. مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا. And oh Allah, give us gifts in the form of children. Give us gifts and make them قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. This is a beautiful expression. Oh Allah, make them, make my children, make my spouse the coolness of my eyes. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. I just want to spend some time on قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. And look, it's a gift from Allah, but that gift definitely has certain weaknesses and imperfections that we should accept. So the weakness that you see in your spouse should remind you of your own weakness, should not make you feel a sense of superiority over that person. The weaknesses you see in the next person, the weakness you see in your husband, or the weakness that you see in your wife, should remind you of your own weaknesses. That is why Allah Ta'ala has created us with weaknesses, so that we can reflect over our own weaknesses rather than pointing out the weaknesses of others. So yes, they are gifts. Your wife is a gift. Your husband is a gift. But definitely you will find certain shortcomings in these gifts that Allah has given to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching you to deal with these weaknesses and to reflect over the weaknesses within yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about our spouses, فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَقَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Sometimes you dislike your spouse, you dislike certain qualities in your husband, you dislike certain qualities in your wife. Allah says, perhaps you dislike something in which Allah has placed an abundant amount of good. So you got to seek out the good, rather than seeking out the faults and seeking out the shortcomings and focusing on the negative aspects and those habits that perhaps offend you. Allah says there's a lot of good in there. And in fact, the good is more than the bad. Seek out the good. Seek out the good and ignore those habits and those traits that may offend you. So our azwaj, our spouses, our wives and our husbands are also gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that should be valued and cherished. قُرَّةَ أَعْيُن. قُرَّةَ أَعْيُن, we translate it as coolness of your eyes. Oh Allah, make my child a coolness. The first dua you will receive when you tell somebody Allah has blessed you with a child, the first dua that they give you is what? That, oh Allah, may Allah make your child a coolness to your eyes. What does it mean? Imam Hassan, what does the coolness of my eyes mean? I'd like to know. قُرَّةَ أَعْيُن. When do I know the child has now become the coolness of my eyes? Something that brings joy to my heart, that brings a smile to my face. Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, said, and the statement is found in your notes, he says that ya qurrata a'yun, coolness of the eyes, refers to seeing your spouse or your child in the obedience of Allah. There's nothing greater than that. There's no better feeling than that. When you find your child in the obedience of Allah, that, he says, is qurrata a'yun. When you see that, when you see your child, you see your son, you see your daughter, you see your wife, or you see your husband in the obedience of Allah, that joy that comes to your heart, and that smile that comes to your face, and that dua that you make at that time, that is what is meant by qurrata a'yun, coolness of the eyes, to see your children in the obedience of Allah. So think about that meaning when you make the dua. You make the dua. This dua is very effective for those who wish to have children. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina. For those who wish to have spouses. One spouse, many spice. One mouse, very. You got more than one spouse, then you're asking for spice. So this dua has a dual purpose. One is a person wants a spouse. Right? You are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a spouse. Then this is dua, very effective. Secondly, if you already have a spouse and you already have children, then you make this dua as well. That Allah makes that child such that you will find that child always in the obedience of Allah. And I speak to the parents, you know, to the mothers and the fathers who have gathered here this evening, that when your child has chosen a life of piety, and your child has chosen a life of righteousness, perhaps there are certain alterations and changes that will now come into the life of that child. Whatever you do, do not become a hindrance. Do not become a barrier between that child and the path that child had chosen towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always be there to encourage that child, support that child. Yes, perhaps you will have to adjust your lifestyle to accommodate the change that your child has made in his or her life. Your child has chosen perhaps a life of abstinence. And now you have to accommodate that. So you make the necessary changes in your life. Do not ever feel offended by a choice that your child has made that is supported by Allah. If the choice is supported by Allah, and it's what Allah wants from the child, and the child has chosen that, you maybe have to accommodate the new life that your child has chosen. Do so. You make the changes. Support the child. Wallahi, the world is against that child. The world is against that teenager. The world is against the propaganda, and everything around the world is against that teenager for that life that the teenager has now chosen. What will become to the child when the parents now are now becoming a barrier between the child and the life that the child has chosen? So qurrata a'yun. Think of this meaning, qurrata a'yun. That when I'm asking Allah to make my child qurrata a'yun, coolness of my eyes, what am I asking Allah for? To Allah, I want to see my child always in your obedience. I want to see my child always in your obedience. Keep this meaning in thought when you make in your mind when you make this dua. And I conclude on this. And this meaning that qurrata a'yun, coolness of the eyes, actually refers to seeing your child in the obedience of Allah. This is actually supported by the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he said, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, my eyes find coolness, my heart finds contentment, my mind finds peace, where? In salah, in ibadah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used what word? قُرَّةَ عَيُّن. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the coolness of my eyes is found in salah. And here you're asking Allah for children and a spouse who will be the coolness of your eyes, who will always be in a state of ibadah and obedience. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.